Too soon, man. Too soon.
Sorry.
Come on, Hanks says. Come on, Hanks.
Sorry, everybody. Welcome to a Sopranos podcast. The podcast where we sit around and shoot the shit about the Sopranos. As always, well, you know what? Actually, we lost the sponsor. We lost Dave's Hot Chicken to a bidding war with Pizza Michi.
Hey, when one door closes, another opens.
Yeah. Thanks to Pizza Michi. Find them on Instagram, PIZZAMICI.
Hey, yo.
I still don't know how to get their pizza, but hopefully we'll try it someday.
Yeah, Pizza Michi, it looks delicious.
It does look pretty good. It does.
He said he was going to get us some, so maybe we'll have him on the pod. He can bring some pizza.
Yeah, some
beats.
Hell yeah.
This fan of ours. And new sponsor, of course.
Obviously.
As always, I'm Joe Spellman, and this is...
David Feudernick.
And this is...
Paul Gullius.
And today we're talking Season 2, Episode 7, 7D.
7.
D-Girl.
D-Girl.
D-Girl. Fucking D-Girl.
We're officially in the back half of Season 2, guys.
The butt.
Season 2. You guys do you guys want to explain what a D-girl is, you big Hollywood
it's a down and dirty girl.
You say that because she's
development girl.
It's development girl.
She's so offended that he says it.
She is very offended.
Yeah,
well, but, so okay, before we get into it, let's I'll do the typical rundown to refresh our listeners' memories. Big things, there were very distinct plot lines this episode. We got AJ, who's having his confirmation, and he stumbles upon existentialism. God is dead. We have
Nitch,
Chris.
Reading all that Nitch.
We have Chris hanging out with Jon Favreau, or Favreau, as they say in the show, trying to get his script made.
Trying to get his script made.
Made. Have you guys seen Jon Favreau's Made? I know you have. Did you ever watch his spells?
I did a long time ago.
You son of a bitch. A lot of Sopranos actors.
I'm not a fan as much as this guy over here.
Yeah.
I love it too.
I was like from I saw it the summer before senior year of high school and I became very obsessed with it.
It is
not as good of a movie as Swingers, but it is bigger laughs.
For sure. I agree with that.
It is like nonstop laughs. And
A lot of
Sopranos people.
Yeah. The third big plot line this episode, Pussy is having a rough go of it as a rat, you guys.
He sucks at being a rat.
He's really struggling with this.
Yeah, as you would.
But so, yeah, that's my first question. Who do you think, I mean, those are three, I think, although the episode isn't the strongest of the season or the series, I think these are three like interesting, like juicy plot lines to me, like character stuff. Who do you think is the MVP of the episode?
I mean, I said this while we were watching it. This is one of my favorite Pussy episodes.
Yeah,
he's so as an actor, he is so good in this episode.
Yeah,
I love the scene that he has with AJ in AJ's bedroom. Very well acted, also very well written.
Oh yeah, yeah, and of course the classic the end of the episode, him crying on the toilet,
and
Skip Lipari and the feds outside in the van listening. That sticks with you.
Yeah.
What do you think, Spells?
I would agree that it's really good. He's really great in it. It's definitely one of his, or if not his best performance. But I'll say the MVP is my girl Alicia Witt.
she was
you were
good.
A big fan of the show Sybil, right?
Yeah, I love
loved
Sybil.
Her on Sybil.
It's funny. I feel I don't know why she's like never been like huge.
She's been in stuff.
Been in a lot of stuff, but I guess she's just like, you know, a great like just, you know, a classic, like I've been in like all these different
things.
Right,
you recognize the face.
And I knock it out of the park in one episode. Like, I mean, she was in Walking Dead and she was a great character in that.
Yeah.
I just think she's great and she's very good looking.
Yeah. It's this is one of those episodes where you really get a sense of how the writers and David Chase like take stabs at Hollywood and the people of Hollywood. And having her be the D girl, like, oh, Quentin, oh, he's a friend, you know? Like,
yeah, no, yeah. She really does that bullshit. So well. Like she has an interesting way of speaking, like her.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if it's her cadence or like her, like,
particular with her, like, this her performance.
Yeah, but even in The Walking Dead one, she has like some sort of like weird, I don't know, way of weird accent or weird. I don't know. It's just a little like. Just a little different than like your normal.
You kind of
like,
want that
ingenue
as an actor,
actress.
Yeah,
yeah. You want to. Like,
oh no,
bring something like that.
Of course,
yeah.
Something distinct.
Because really, when you think about it, on paper, that character is like nothing. That character is like a caricature of a Hollywood person.
Right.
And she brings a little bit to it. I mean, we still know nothing
Quentin
about her.
Is still a friend.
Right. Still a friend. Yeah. And so I mean, this is sort of. Not the first mention of Chris's interest in Hollywood, certainly. You know, he takes the acting class earlier this season, but this is one of a handful of episodes that sort of touch on Chris's obsession with Hollywood in the movies.
Yeah.
The other big one being Luxury Lounge when they go out to recruit Sir Ben
McCall
Kingsley.
Yeah. Gets punched in the face. Spoiler alert, Lauren McCall gets punched real hard.
Which is odd. Is there a moment like that in this episode that can stack up to Lauren Bacall being punched in the face? I don't know. I don't think there is.
I think just like all of Christopher's jabs at swingers.
Yeah. Just totally razzing on swingers to Favreau.
Guys, model yourself after Frank and Dean. It's kind of a pussy assness to it.
Well, that was kind of the point of the piece.
It's your movie.
Favreau's great too. Like Favreau's
so
great.
Yeah.
Like
such
a good poking
sport
fun at himself.
It.
Yeah,
directing a movie starring Janine Garofalo and Sandra Bernhard as lesbian lover spies. I'm gonna say, even back in 2000, that was not a blockbuster film being made.
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
but
no.
It was also kind of poking fun at like how serious indie film takes itself too.
Right, true.
Sure.
When they're like when they're talking about like the director and like she won the audience award at Sundance, like a lesbian screwball comedy or something.
I do like how like over the top they were, like him and Alicia Witt like are so like they're a little over the top, and that's how people are out here.
Mm-hmm. True.
They're a little fucking
very true.
Yeah.
Both have like put-ons about
put-ons.
The way they're talking to Christopher. Like,
And just like, I don't know. Like, yeah. Put-ons is what it is.
I mean, what am I trying to say? Fuck your mother.
Fuck your mother. Yeah, that sounded so awkward.
Okay.
Right.
But great, because it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And Chris's story about the trans person who got acid thrown in their face for like tricking a made guy into thinking they were an actual female.
Yeah.
That makes its way into Favreau's script. The first few pages of Favreau's script that Chris just happens to turn to.
What a weird mafia story. Like, doesn't sound badass particularly. It just sounds like,
no, it's a
strange
weird kind of story for him to. I wonder if like a writer or David Chase had like heard something like that from somebody,
sure,
and they were
right.
like, let's put this in, get real meta about it.
Yeah.
This whole episode is like really meta. Like there's a line where Chris is like, I could play Joey Gallo, but I didn't want to get into acting unless I could play myself. And Favreau playing himself is like, yeah, I totally get that. I understand it. You know?
right.
Like they love to like poke fun at Hollywood and get
of course.
That kind of shit. So what do you think of AJ's big dilemma this episode? You know, him finding existentialism in
it sets up good stuff with the path that he is down to inevitably become Tony.
Right.
And hit like all the way down to him going to see Livia.
Yep.
And Livia just like telling him, like, you know, in the end you end up in your own arms.
Right. that scene with him and Livia is great because
she has the biggest cut of meatloaf and the biggest pile of art direction.
Yeah,
art department. What happened,
dude? You're always looking
at the
food on the plate.
It's like the lobsters from season one.
Yes,
no,
giant
lobsters, or the big mound of spaghetti on that woman's plate in the background.
Yeah,
these people with the food. I mean, I guess there's they're not hurting for food on the set of The Sopranos,
right?
But I mean, you could maybe not put 6 pounds of mashed potatoes on Livia's plate.
You could cut that 50-ounce like fucking meatloaf portion in half, maybe.
There's no way at a woman, hospital man. You would get like that. That's like 3 orders like on one plate.
Yeah. And also, you brought, I mean, why, like, I guess she's still, like, in the nursing unit of a hospital. She has nowhere else to go because Tony's not paying for Green Grove. But, like, why is she still in the hospital? Like,
she's been, she's been, like bedbound.
Is that why
it's not still because of the stroke at the end of season one, right? Like,
that's what I'm curious
about. But it would have to be because she hasn't had any, like, new health
issues. She's racking up at the hospital.
Exactly, yeah.
Unless she's at, like, a cheapo, like a I don't know, a cheaper like nursing home sort of thing that's like kind of a hospital as well. Like,
I don't know. Does that exist?
Yeah, is that a nursing home?
Maybe it is. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Those things do exist where they're like half a nursing home, but you're like confined to a hospital bed as opposed to her old nursing home, which was like a room.
Right. Well, eventually she moves in with Janice and Richie, who we didn't. Right. I don't think we saw this episode. Maybe were they in the background at AJ's confirmation?
Yes, they showed up.
Tony like pokes fun at Richie.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we count the silverware. Like
Livia, the hospital bill is fucking insane. Why don't you just move in with us?
But no, I wrote down the quote from Livia because I think it's great. She says, "Why does everything have to have a purpose? The world is a jungle. And if you want my advice, Anthony, don't expect happiness. You won't get it. People let you down. In the end, you die in your own arms. It's all a big nothing. What makes you think you're so special?" Is there a line uttered in The Sopranos that just totally encapsulates the entire show? Yeah. Like, I feel like that's what all of this is about, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's, you know, there's obviously moments where Chase sort of says, hey, there's a silver lining to things, and hey, you know, people can change. But for the most part, he's saying the world is shit.
And also, it's uttered in front of a huge plate of food, so just perfect. Really just hits all the bases.
Yeah, that sums it up.
But then, you know, you have that moment in the end that sort of like counters everything Livia tells AJ, where she's like, you die alone. But then you have the speech that Pussy gives AJ up in his bedroom about, you know, how your father was always there for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's a stand-up guy. He'd take a bullet for you. You know, go enjoy your party, you know, while you have this. And then he hugs him. And that's sort of, I wonder if they intentionally, like, balanced those two things out within this episode, you know? But yeah, that's, I mean, that ending with Chris also deciding to
go back in the house.
Simultaneously as Pussy is betraying, you know, it's funny how all, like, Tony's not featured a ton in this episode. No. Like, the storylines aren't central to him, but they all tie back to him. You know, AJ is like, my dad's an asshole. Puss is like, obviously betraying his former best friend. And then Tony gives Chris an ultimatum, like 10 minutes to decide me or the movies, basically.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to him, and they all sort of go back to Tony in the end. But I mean, obviously not Puss, but you know, he's regretting his decision about betraying Tony.
Right.
Is there like a better, like, that's probably, though it's not my favorite episode, I just love the way everything comes together at the end. Like, is there a better, like final moments of an episode this season? Like, I don't even know.
Well, I mean, I love the last scene of the last episode that's coming up.
The
season.
Oh, yeah.
But,
you're a big through and through fan.
Well, and the pivotal episode in that, or pivotal scene in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm sure everybody knows, but I don't. So I don't know, but I definitely think that
it's a great ending.
Yeah.
The way, you know, I wasn't necessarily paying attention because we were on our phones about Tom Hanks having coronavirus. But
yeah, the NBA season got suspended, and Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson had
moments ago
coronavirus.
Yeah,
and but, travel suspended to and from Europe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we're breaking it here.
When you hear this comes next out. Week,
you'll be like,
if we're all still here,
if you get your news from our podcast. Yeah, so the way you say, like, you, the way you put that, I do think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What
else do you guys think about this episode? I was gonna say,
You know, a lot. I think AJ's really, you know, stressed or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of thoughts happening around his confirmation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say, do you have a confirmation, Paul?
Oh, I did have a confirmation.
I figured you did.
Do you smoke a big fat joint in your garage outdoors?
Yeah.
No, I didn't, but I definitely would not have done that even if I did like smoke weed back then. Like
Can you imagine like a worse time to be high? Just like
All your family and all these fucking mob guys hanging around, like
your fucking kid
you're
surrounded
and
by
also it. You're like the center of the party. Like everybody's like
You can't just go hide in your room.
right. Which he does anyway.
Which he does.
I smoked weed one time in my basement because that's where I lived when I was in high school. And
did your parents know you were there? Or?
Well, they were downstairs. It was like a weekday. They were upstairs, and I blew it out like one of those small basement windows, which was right below the kitchen sink. And my mom like smelled it immediately. We blew it through like a toilet paper roll with like a dryer sheet at the end of it.
Oh yeah.
Thinking we were intelligent. Like it was like, no, it just went right upstairs.
And of course we all smoked oregano.
And she was like, why do I smell weed? And I'm like stone, like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy, lady.
Funix smoked oregano.
I smoked oregano wrapped in computer paper.
Oh yeah, so, that's true.
Know. Walk us through the thought process on that one, man.
Well, I don't know.
You knew it wouldn't get you high.
You know, just kind of always in Hollywood, you know. I was kind of my own D-girl, just making movies.
For sure, man.
And I was like, you know, it was like set weed, you know.
I think that's where the coronavirus started.
I smoked
the oregano that came out of your lungs.
I smoked I smoked oregano out of computer paper with a monkey.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, a bat.
A bat. Yeah. No, you smoked
with a bat. Yeah,
with Batman.
I do remember the first time I was stoned, like with my family, in high school. I like smoked weed with my friend Rowan, and then my mom called this house and was like, "You have to come home for dinner." And we had just smoked, and I was like, "Oh fuck!" And I like sat there with my parents, with like the news on, just super high, like, and I knew my mom could tell because I like she's not the greatest cook, and I was like really eating that food up. Really, just I was getting thirds.
I like
she didn't say
food.
Anything to you?
No.
But she knew.
What was your? Did you have a?
They know, but they don't know.
It was. I'm sure we. I kind of don't remember it.
No. Well, did you have a sponsor?
Oh yeah, my cousin was like was my sponsor. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's man. Fuck the Catholic Church.
It's like trying to be a bar mitzvah.
Oh yeah, you're about to be. You're the godfather.
Dude, I have this whole fucking thing with my fucking nephew who's just born like 4 months ago, and now I'm gonna be the godfather. I haven't set foot in a Catholic church. I mean, besides for like somebody else's wedding, since I was in high school probably, and fucking now I have to go get a certificate of sponsorship to be somebody's godfather, and they give you a fucking hard time. That's what I'm learning,
dude.
They give you a hard time.
Bro. Why don't you come to Mr. Meme, dude? I will fucking make you one.
Because they're gonna, cause like the guy's a stickler and he's gonna like want a phone number.
It's perfect. Give him my number. It's an 860 number. Give him my number.
That's
he'll make you Connecticut
true.
Guy.
True. Yeah.
And
and you're gonna be the priest. You're gonna be the Catholic priest.
Yay, Don.
Hi, this is Pastor Ron.
Dude, Donald Trump could do a better Catholic priest than you, probably. What's your favorite passage in the Bible, son?
They're all great. All the ones with the men.
Anyway, all the ones where I win.
If anybody could
all the
up
ones
with
the boys.
With a fake certificate of sponsorship for baptism, please let me know.
Do you... Okay, moving on, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you...
Are you talking
to the
fucking
mic,
my guy?
Do you?
How many episodes are we on?
You
now?
You think that was like Chris's like cousin?
What do you mean?
Who fucking slept with his? Are they married? His cousin to Alicia Witt?
I assume they're married or at least.
No, like, I think they're dating.
They're dating.
Yeah,
I guess that would make a little more sense.
Yeah,
because
the ambulance chaser.
Because if they were married, like
they might be.
I guess Chris wouldn't do that to his cousin's wife.
I guess he would.
He would?
Yeah.
He would.
But you wouldn't do that to Tony's wife.
Yeah, well, because Tony's his boss.
Tony's his boss.
I know,
also,
but you
Tony
wouldn't
would
do it to
shit.
You wouldn't do it to a
also,
maid.
Also, Carmela's his cousin.
But he would but no, but he wouldn't sleep with a maid guy's wife.
Okay, yeah, but that guy's not.
That guy's not
maid.
He said he's an ambulance chaser.
I know. I know, but I'm saying like Would you? If you subscribe to that motto,
the right. old school
don't,
mentality,
don't you think that like you wouldn't sleep with a family member's wife?
Yeah, but it's Chris. I don't think any of these. I think these guys are like talk a big game, but when it comes down to it, they're gonna fucking fuck whoever.
Yeah,
I think that's.
Yeah,
I think
they're still not gonna fuck other people's.
I think other
made guys' wives.
I think there's very few lines that they would cross. Other made guys, yes, but he's like some guy from California. You know,
right?
We never hear him.
We don't
see.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, is it his cousin? Like, yeah. Or is it just like my cousin? Like,
I think it's his cousin. He mentions them in the pilot.
Yes.
You know that? He says, my cousin Gregory's girlfriend out in California is a development girl. Right. And that's the moment at the party at the end when Tony grabs him by the collar and is like, you know, every
Tony's
monster
like, you think I never got offers?
You think I never got a wolf?
Yeah, he never got offers. But so that's like another little like callback from the pilot.
Right.
Yeah.
That they had in their pocket.
Yeah.
And then this, and then the stuff with AJ gets brought up. Funic, you brought it up in the final season
in therapy
when AJ's like, you called me an animal like at my confirmation.
Yeah, and Carmella's like, I did?
Yeah. I mean, I guess like that's something that sticks with you. It's weird what sticks with you when you're that age.
Right.
Sure.
But I don't imagine that like really, like I don't think that young AJ took that to heart. I don't imagine that.
Mm.
But it obviously,
what does that mean?
Like,
obviously it did.
Stuck
but,
with him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so this is an episode that draws from across the series.
Yeah.
Anything else, guys?
What do you think he Chris says to the Morgan Stanley douchebag?
Oh
yeah, in the beginning when they're like out for drinks and they're bumping into Alicia Witt's character. Chris gets guys to leave.
Yeah. Oh, bridge and tunnel.
I'm with. Yeah. I'm with Tony Soprano's crew. I don't know. I don't know.
Aren't you
I don't know what
he says. Come on.
I don't know what
he goes,
say.
I'm going to pour acid on your prick like this friend of mine I know.
Look, this is a very important meeting for me right now. I'm pitching my movie.
I'm with a fucking D-girl right
I'm
now.
With a D-girl.
He just does it by being really nice to them. He's like, look, please, man. You got to fucking walk away here.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not. But that was a question for fucking internet.
Oh!
Which
you stole.
Are we moving?
Do we
want
to do this?
Let's move on to it. Yeah.
Did we talk about why you know D girl and like you know she got upset about being called D girl? We were talking.
We were talking about that. Yeah.
We introduced that in the beginning of
episode.
I'm a vice president.
Good call. Let's bring her back.
I'm
around.
A vice president. Okay. So like he's just saying that like and that's like devaluing her and
right.
And she's like, no, I'm a vice president because I've never heard D girl before.
No.
Like, you know, you
someone's
don't
like a in derogatory. Yeah.
Somebody's in development.
It'd be really funny out here if you were like talking to somebody in development. They were like, I'm a D girl for Fox.
Right.
You're like, what?
Well, that's the thing. Like, how does Chris know that that's some sort of like slander, you know? Like,
yeah.
He says it with intent to like hurt her and insult her.
And
like,
even if it
like
is
book,
fucking
yuck.
D girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if it is slander, like, what is what is the slander? Fucking girl reads scripts all the time.
Right,
like,
right.
I guess, yeah. He's just trying, but it's, yeah, that's the weird thing. Like, he's definitely trying to bring her down, like, a few notches.
Yeah. It sounds like PA.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know,
but what the fuck does Chris know about it, you know?
Like, yeah.
I mean, it's clearly, you know.
Maybe
it's a
he was in,
weird.
Maybe he was in one of, like, those, like, screenwriting books that he read.
Yeah, glossary of terms. Yeah.
How to write a feature in 10 days or whatever.
Never call someone a D-girl unless you're really mad at them.
Yeah.
One of these days, we're going to do a table read of Chris's original screenplay, You Bark, I Bite.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we will.
The roof is soft talk.
Yeah, we got it. We got to find that script.
Yeah.
I heard that Johnny Sacpino did a pass on it.
Shit or go blind. Yeah, Josh.
Because his father gets cancer of the eyes. Was that glaucoma?
Johnny, the nut Sacpino was a D-boy, right?
Yeah, he was a D-boy on The Sopranos.
God. I don't know what the D stands for in that, though.
he only liked...
Oh, he's got a lot of meaning.
He only liked Renzulli's scripts.
Yeah. Yo, fuck you. That's a great take.
Thank you.
So do we want to go on to our middle segment here then?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Let's okay. do it. So Spells, you did not do this. Joe was, hey, we're in Hollywood. Joe had to put himself on tape for something today.
Yeah. It took a lot of my time.
Took a lot of his time. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a segment, since this episode centers around Hollywood and making movies. We thought we would do a segment called Green Light or Spotlight.
Hell yeah.
And Professor Pauly and I have some what we call log lines, like one or two sentences kind of laying
pitch.
Out. Yeah. Laying out the pitch for a movie idea. So we thought we would do a few movie ideas involving...
based off Sopranos characters.
Yeah, Sopranos characters. So why don't we do this? So Paul and I will go back and forth. Spells, you are the vice president.
Oh, shit.
And you're going to decide green light or spotlight, or stoplight.
Stoplight. All right. Yeah.
Green light or stoplight.
Okay, you want to go first?
Sure, I'll start.
Okay.
All right, this movie's called... Silvio Dante's Peak. Mobster Silvio Dante is owner and operator of North Jersey's premier gentleman's club. But when a volcano threatens the entire state, he uses his managerial skills and connection to the waste management industry to dispose of the liquid magma and save millions of lives.
Oh, fuck.
Wow. Dude. So are these supposed to be like real movies, or are these like, you know?
Hey, you take it out of your
up to you.
Okay,
up to you, man.
Hey, all right, so they're all real movies.
If that were pitched to me, let's
see. Mine are bad. Mine are not good. Is this coming to theaters or what, Spells?
You know what? I'm going to stop lying.
Oh, shit. Fuck. Mine are definitely not getting made then, because that sounded awesome. Silvio Dante and a volcano? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't, you know, I don't see how he
fuck,
gets
how's Christopher going to go see that crater, dude?
I just don't see how he gets there, you know? I mean, you got to make
okay.
me see
Ooh,
it.
Fuck. Okay. Spells is bringing the...
You can really see
the
it.
The critical eye here. All right, I'll go. But, okay. Better if I read the title at the end here.
Okay.
He just wanted to get together and cook up some dogs for the boys. Or did he? When George's kid gets in a spat with the son of a local mafia don, he and the whole Pia Costa clan must go on the lam before they sleep with the fishes. Title, So My Friend's Son's Dad is an Axe Murderer.
Oh my God.
Green light or stoplight?
I'm green light.
Hell yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Seems more plausible. You
knew
know,
I was going to
seems...
do Pia Costa, Dave.
And by the way, my next one, also Pia Costa.
Hey, man, you know...
Yours is better, though.
We're going to create a Pia Costa-verse, like a shared universe for
really
Pia Costa. Yeah.
We got to get in contact with the actor who played Pia Costa.
I don't think he exists as a person. I think like...
That's true.
There's no like mention of him on IMDb. I think he's just a ghost.
I wouldn't want to get like beers with him and hear his like trials and tribulations.
Oh, God,
Oh, yeah, you know, I was supposed to be Tony's butler.
Yeah, okay. All right. Here's my next one.
Okay.
When local businessman and blue jean aficionado Mr. Pia Costa buys the New Jersey Devil hockey team, he decides to dress the players in his signature pants. Hilarity ensues. Movie? It's called The Devils Wear Denim.
Oh, dude, I'm greenlighting that.
Oh,
dude, see, these are more realistic, you know. These are more
these
oh, you know,
man.
Deal with every man, you know.
Yeah, you don't have trying to get rid of liquid magma.
Right. Okay. I don't like that big picture stuff as much as just like the These sound like they you know, deal with like the regular people.
Plus, great vehicle for this actor.
Oh, absolutely.
The Devils Wear Denim is,
I mean,
is
I like,
a go.
Yeah, I like hockey movies.
And So My Friend's Son's Dad is an X-mer. Okay, so this one, so that was the one I felt strongest about. So,
oh, good.
Here we go. Noah was the son of a wealthy entertainment lawyer looking to punch somebody's lights out. Feech was a bakery owner with a violent past. After a chance encounter, Feech agrees to teach the boy to fight. But can the king of breadsticks teach this Hasidic homeboy to be a king of the ring in time for the Royal Rumble? The Royal Noah Tenenbaums.
I was liking it. I was
okay,
liking it,
right.
And then I don't know. Something about that title just really turned me off.
Yeah.
So
fair.
Really,
fair.
A lot of the idea is the title.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, and it was
I worked
like,
backwards from the title.
Yes.
Could you tell?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 So you know, I'm gonna stop like that. I feel
Ooh.
Like we're gonna get sued by Wes Anderson. So
yeah, true.
Fuck.
You're right.
You know.
Yeah.
Fair.
Break those skinny ass kneecaps of his, dude.
But,
I'm not scared of Wes Anderson.
But you know, right church, wrong pew, you know. It's like
right,
sort
right.
of like minor characters here. And,
you know, I'll work on it. I'll workshop it.
Okay, please
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
Alright. After murdering his mother's friend Min when she catches him stealing from her, Paulie Walnuts Galtieri must convince his mom that Min is alive and well. and that he's actually a good boy. Hilarity ensues. Title, Weekend at Paulie's.
Of course.
Oh, I'm greenlighting that.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds
please,
great.
Please do.
That sounds great.
Imagine him and
that
Chris
like
propping Min up.
that sounds like someone pitched that as an episode in the Sopranos writer's room. Like, well, wait, what if he kills her, and then has to show his mom?
Nucci would fall for that, too.
Paulie.
Paul Min.
Have you heard
not
from Min?
Talking to me. She's sitting on the couch.
Okay, so you got two greenlit.
It's true.
I got one greenlit.
Yeah.
So this one comes down to if we tie.
What do you?
Well,
you,
I have
oh,
one
you,
more.
You have one more. Oh,
you have
fuck.
Four. You have
but
three.
We won't count.
I have three.
My fourth one will be a bonus, so
okay.
we won't count it.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I should read the title first or after. We'll go with after. After his father's death, Jason Barone inherits the family business Barone Sanitation and the crime syndicate that comes with it. Now, all on his own, he must defend what his family built against the marauding mobsters Tony and Paulie, a.k.a. the Wet Shoelace Bandits. Special guest appearance by John Hurd as Vin McKazian / Peter McAllister. Title, Home Barone.
Saw that come.
All right. See,
that's
okay, this is the opposite of the last one.
the title brought
like,
it all together.
I was like, yeah, the title is bringing it all together, and I like it, so I'll green light it.
All right, okay.
Nice, nice. All right, Ty.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hear the bonus one. Maybe, you know, the vice president might decide to just put it over the top. The constant gardener. Sal Vitro has been cutting lawns and trimming hedges for 20 years.
Yes.
But when one of his clients goes into labor suddenly, he must make the biggest trim of his career, an emergency circumcision.
Oh, wow.
Make like a moil.
Okay.
He's this. Sal Vitro is the constant gardener.
All right, I like it. I'm green lighting it.
Wow.
Unless you can come up with a Sal Vitro
on the
log
spot.
Line on the spot.
Dude, you know I can't, man.
In vitro.
It would all... Feudy can.
Dude, Feudy, yeah. I mean, I guess you got to give it to Feudy. He's,
I mean, all mine would involve volcanoes, and you already fucking stoplighted one of those. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny that our friend asked for a log line and of a project you guys were working on. And
you didn't
have it.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
you came up with it, but you didn't have it.
Yeah, we didn't have it in the treatment for some reason.
But you know, you just spurted out some great log lines right there.
Project Thank we've been working on for 5 years.
Yeah,
didn't have
no
a log
line.
That tells you how well that's going. but yeah, so that was green light, stoplight. We could bust that out in the future. That's
yeah.
kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For
sure.
Bells, I'd like you to fucking
maybe for luxury lounge.
Participate in it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Shall we move on to fucking internet?
Yeah. Which is uttered in the app.
This is the origin of fucking internet.
Yeah.
It seems that AJ has stumbled upon existentialism.
The most memed moment, perhaps?
Probably, yeah. But yeah, we already covered the fucking what do you think Chrissy whispered? So
we won't do that. Well, what did people have ideas on?
Let's see.
The fucking internet?
This, okay, it's so from user Ishikashi.
Okay.
What do you think Chrissy whispered to Bridge and Tunnel Boy guy and D-Girl? I probably don't know what I'm talking about, but I figured it would be something along the lines of, this is Tony Soprano's club. If you don't get out right now, you and everyone you're with won't see tomorrow. Or something like that. Chrissy did not flinch. What do you guys think?
Ah, that's a good one.
I don't think he outright threatened the guy. Like, I'm going to murder all of you.
I mean, the guy is so taken aback that he's like, we need to get out of here.
Yeah, he probably alluded to his connection to the mafia.
Yeah,
which is not that far-fetched, given where they are, I guess,
yeah.
and
right.
how he's
yeah.
dressed.
right.
Hey, but, if we were in the one of our local bars, like the Morrison, and someone goes, "Hey, I'm in the mafia. This is my boss's club. You better get out of here." You think we'd take him seriously?
No.
I know for a fact spells you would plant for the next 3 hours if somebody said that to you.
First of all,
you're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Bring him in. Yeah.
Spells would be like five tequila drinks deep, and he'd be like, he'd start yelling at him like,
"Oh, yeah?
My boss is in the mafia.
Oh, yeah? Where is he?
Hey, everybody, this guy's in the mafia."
All right, this one from user Gob Complex.
Job? Or Gob?
I mean, it maybe it's pronounced Job, but the saying is a God complex, right?
So right.
I think,
yeah.
So it really kind of falls apart if you go with Job, right?
Yeah.
Sure. D-Girl is definitely the worst episode. The Jon Favreau stuff is stupid. The subplot of AJ's existential crisis and car accident is stupid. The Chris Amy stuff is stupid. It's about as close as you can get to a pointless episode that doesn't advance the plot in almost any significant way.
Well,
also, why the inconsistency when it comes to how much Angie Bonpensiero knows about Pussy's rat status? Skip has been to their house, and Angie saw Pussy talking with him. D-Girl is truly a skippable episode when it comes to rewatches. Thoughts?
A lot of good points in what you're saying.
We did bring up,
but it
like,
does move the story forward, though.
Yeah.
It's character certainly, stuff, right?
Yeah,
it's not big plot stuff. The Richie plot doesn't move forward.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't see Scatino again.
We don't see Scatino. Yeah. But this is all character stuff. Like, Pussy come to a crossroads. Pussy, Chris, and AJ sort of come to the crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you got to appreciate the character stuff if you're rewatching Sopranos, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's why you rewatch.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah.
It's like one of these standalone episodes you know, you might do with a character or like a lot of fucking shows like this do that.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying too. Like at the same time, I think it might be not as entertaining even being that.
Right.
Rewatching it definitely
feels a little slow.
Yeah, if you've watched the show already and you rewatch it, I see you liking it a lot more.
Right.
We also
for sure.
We also often watch individual episodes just like all over the place.
Yeah.
And like this is definitely not one that like
no.
I would come home and I would be like, I'm watching D-Girl.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean,
although I love, I mean,
Witt is great.
I do love the Favreau stuff, though.
True, yeah, very.
And
I
that's silly.
Favreau.
That's silly. Like I could see someone watching it being like, "This is so silly."
Sure,
but it. You know, that's the intention.
It's it's fun.
Yeah.
Wait.
I wouldn't put it. I don't know. Would you guys say bottom half episodes?
Bottom
50%.
Like yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
But not too far towards the bottom. Anyway.
No.
User, Alex Higgins. Had Christopher decided to go the Hollywood route in D-Girl? As we all know, Tony gives him a choice: the mafia or Hollywood, and Christopher picks the mafia. Now, had Christopher decided to go the Hollywood route, would Tony have had him whacked? Just to be sure he doesn't use some of the stuff he's seen done for a movie script, as Tony said in the pilot, what are you going to do, go Henry Hill on me now?
Probably.
You think you would have had Chris killed?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. At this point, I don't know that he would have allowed him to do it. Chris, first of all, isn't made yet.
True.
That's one thing. He's not, like, technically, like, part of the family forever.
Yeah, but that doesn't that make the decision easier to whack him?
That's also true. But but he's not necessarily betraying something that he's sworn his life to, right? I mean, there's an argument for both sides. Also, but I think how many fucking chances does Tony give Chris?
Right.
Like going on from here in the series.
Right.
With his drugs, with fucking everything else, with Adriana, like this would have been just the first in a series of fuck ups, you know, and we know that he gives him passes for other things, so maybe he would have given him a pass at this point. Later on in the series, you know, when he's fucking had it with Chris.
Right.
No, absolutely. It would have been he's just looking for an excuse. But here at this point, I don't know. I think there's an argument you could say that he might have let Chris fucking go out to California. I don't think Chris would have fucking succeeded. He probably would have come crawling back.
Right.
To be honest. Or just had like a massive drug problem and died in California.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah. don't know.
Yeah, I think if he came back, he wouldn't let him back, to, though.
He wouldn't, or he would?
I don't know.
If
he was there for a while, be like, you can't come back.
Yeah. True.
He's dead to me.
Yeah.
He's dead to me. Although he did that with Puss. He let Puss come back.
Yeah, it's true. At this point in the series, Tone's a little more lenient. Anyway, moving on. User Nethermore. The transgender Chris spots at lunch with D-Girl and Favreau. Chris mentions some wise guy friend of mine would kill me if he knew I said anything, then goes on to tell the story that ended in an acid attack. Spoiler below. When Johnny Sack pleaded guilty and we see the reactions of the different crews, Tony and Silvio are walking through John's old home and Syl says something like, I would have thrown acid in his face. Must have definitely been Syl Chris was talking about. What do you guys think? Was it Silvio who threw acid in the transgender person's face?
Oh, shit. You know.
Wow.
Is that.
Well, that Sopranos likes to do shit like this, so yeah. It's possible.
I don't think that when they wrote this, they were thinking, it's Silvio, let's hide it. But I think.
Yeah. No.
Actually, well, come to think of it.
I don't. What, if it was Syl, would he have been telling the story, though?
Doesn't he like say like that's John Cipollini's story or something like that?
Yes. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Nethermore. Shut the fuck up.
It's John Cipollini. Unless he's trying to protect Syl and he comes up with John Cipollini.
True.
It was obviously Patsy Parisi's son.
But it could have happened to Syl because you know he's like around women all the time.
Look. There's a lot of guys throwing a lot of acid and a lot of faces in the mafia, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So we cannot pinpoint this, and we never will.
Everyone in the mafia, they forget. They never mention it, but everyone carries around a cup of acid.
Yes.
And they can use it at any time on anyone.
Yep.
And hey, this is Hollywood, baby. Hey, in my episode of Criminal Minds, my girlfriend was supposed to have had acid thrown on her head.
Oh, shit, dude.
Oh, wow.
So it's all so you know, it's just kind of a Hollywood thing.
Crossover between Criminal Minds and Sopranos.
Oh, yeah.
That was the long game.
Yeah.
Great minds. Great minds.
And the last one we sort of already discussed too. This one from user Snuggle Monster 15, the ending to D Girl. Where do you think it rates among some of the better episode endings? I personally think it's pretty underrated. Tony's ultimatum to Christopher, Pussy sobbing in the bathroom after his talk with AJ. Chris sitting outside thinking about the free pass Tony gave him to walk away from the life before he got up and went back inside. Yeah, great up ending.
I agree.
Sorry, I jumped the gun on that one during our discussion.
Yeah,
episode discussion.
It's all good. You fucking.
Fuck you guys.
Fucking watch the guts. Watch the guts.
And that's it for fucking internet this week. There was nothing on Twitter. There's nothing.
Which goes to show the better
episodes have more.
This episode doesn't. It's good, but there's not really much to talk about. I feel like. I mean, it's all character studies, sort of.
And as we discussed, there's not a lot of like plot developments we need to discuss.
Not a lot that deals with like the main character of the show.
For sure. Yeah.
I do have to shout out one of our listeners and avid interactors on Twitter, Anton Berner. He says, the fuck? My hot take was Ugats to you? Apparently he submitted a hot take. We did not see it, Anton. So
on Twitter?
And then he wouldn't tell me what it was. So yeah, on Twitter. So
did you write back to him? Where was your hot take?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Anton, help us help you, dude.
Yeah, come on, Anton.
And anybody else who wants to just randomly submit hot takes, we might do a hot take episode.
We could do more hot takes.
Fucking internet, you know, if you guys have anything you want us to discuss, like, send it in. Let us know.
Especially if you know that we're going to do, you know, an episode in the future.
Sure.
Let us know, like, thoughts that you have about that episode.
Yeah, like, you guys got it. Gotta drink a bottle of wine each while you watch Funhouse. Like,
right,
stuff like that. You know,
anything
that's on your mind, you want to see.
We want to hear you guys sing through and through in its entirety after each drinking a bottle of wine.
Smells does that anyway.
Yeah, I do that anyway.
That's his spells on the shitter in the morning. Just sing. That's how he times his shits out. He just sings all, through and through.
Waiting on a call from you.
Nah, it's what I do when I wash my hands. Come on, everybody. Oh, yeah. That's what we got to be doing. One. We got to be singing through and through when you wash your hands.
Stop touching your face all the time. I got to stop do it, too.
I just did it like 50 times.
I just did it a million times.
Rubbing my eye.
We got to spray down these mics after this episode.
Yeah, we do. We do, because I rub my big schnoz constantly, so.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. And as always, guys,
Safe, stay healthy.
Yeah, stay safe, stay healthy. If you have those aforementioned questions, concerns, stuff that you want us to talk about, feel free to hit us up at osopranospod@gmail.com. We're at osopranospod on Instagram and Twitter. Let us know what's up. Things you want us to fucking be doing.
Yeah.
If you're like, yo, fucking stop talking about the fucking food that the art department did. Fair enough. I can't look past it.
Yeah. On this many rewatches, you start noticing just looking at the dishes. That's the thing. Yeah.
Yes. Thanks for listening, you fucks. Oh, and give us fucking 5-star review, because like there are a lot more of you than there are the people that have fucking reviewed. So go on fucking iTunes, give us a 5-star review. You can even say a bunch of bullshit that like you fucking hate it, but as long as it's 5 stars, who cares?
Five stars, show sucks. That's all you gotta do.
Great. Perfect. Until next time.
To recognize your son. Cause I failed to love that.